Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of America's Conservative Podcast. I am your host, Ed Dentzel. You made it through the week. It's a beautiful day here in Madeira Beach, Florida. Going to get out and do some play some disc golf later today in the afternoon after I put out another episode of my other podcast, Unfound, my missing person show. Hopefully you've checked that out. It's a popular show, growing every week. I love trying to help these families out, trying to expose these cases that maybe a lot of people don't know about. And maybe we can make some headway into trying to get justice for the victims and their families there. I saw this article at foxnews.com. Did you know, this is really funny, that in the state of Michigan, it was actually legal for policemen to have sex with prostitutes? Now, you know why that is the way it is, because that's one of the ways to take the convenience out of it. Let's just put it that way for a moment. That if prostitution is illegal, to actually prove that somebody's a prostitute, I guess you may have to see if they actually have sex for money or not. But as I was reading the article, it's very possible that Michigan is the only state that allows this kind of out for police officers. Now, the funny part about this, and the part that I don't believe, is that the spokesman or somebody representing policemen in the state of Michigan said, "We didn't even realize that the law existed." There's actually a law that says that policemen are exempt from getting in trouble if they have sex with prostitutes. The policemen are saying they didn't even realize that the law existed. I doubt that. I sincerely doubt that. And it's just a funny news story. Thought I would start out the show that way, being that so much of this show is serious and so much of this show is contrary to what you're hearing out there, at least from the right side of the political aisle. Thought I might start with that. Probably wouldn't have been a bad idea if you're a single policeman in Michigan to be there. Maybe take advantage of that law. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So I guess that they're going to be changing that. And probably a lot of policemen that truly didn't know the law existed are like, "Wait a minute, don't change it yet. I want to take advantage of it." Kind of funny. Let's move on to the show. George W. Bush was on Jimmy Kimmel last night. As you know, I don't watch any of these late night shows. I haven't watched late night TV probably since Johnny Carson was on. And I think, what did he retire in? About 1994, I think. Something like that. Like easily over 20 years ago. And of course, he's dead now. That's probably the last time that late night TV, these shows where musicians and comedians and actors, actresses, all go in there to be on there to be interviewed. That's probably the last time I took an interest in it at all. Never watched Jay Leno, David Letterman, none of it. And I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in years and years and years, although I've caught clips of all of those programs over the years. Well, I saw this clip that George W. Bush was on Jimmy Kimmel last night. And he was in there, I think he was hawking, marketing some book. And if you don't know, George W. Bush is big into painting these days. And I think that the book is full of paintings of famous people that he's done. I think that's what it is. I think. I do know that he was marketing a book, and it does have something to do with his painting. Well, they talk back and forth. And as you know, as time has gone on, I have become less and less enamored with the George W. Bush administration, although for different reasons than other people, other Republicans and conservatives seem to dislike it. Now, a lot of that, for those others is rooted in the Iraq War. Even though all those people supported it at the time, now all these years later, people have changed their mind. And I have not changed my mind. And I've been very vocal about the reason for that. And the reason is I think that it was Barack Obama who ruined Iraq, not George W. Bush. I do not believe that going to Iraq was a mistake. I believe had we stayed there that we wouldn't now have these problems with ISIS. We probably wouldn't have problems in Yemen, or however you say that country. We probably wouldn't have problems there. But because we got out of those places, we do. That's on Barack Obama. That's not on George W. Bush. I have problems with George W. Bush from an economic standpoint. He wasn't a conservative. There were many signs in the economy that there was a housing bubble, to which there wasn't enough talking going out there. I think the administration, too many politicians, just wanted to ride the wave. And then it was Republicans who paid for it when it burst. I think that could have been avoided. The expansion of entitlement program like Medicare Part D for prescriptions that wasn't needed, on and on and on. There are a lot of complaints. He was what they call a compassionate conservative, which is really just a big government conservative. A lot of reasons to dislike what went on in George W. Bush's term. Although I did, once again, I agree with Iraq. I am probably closer to George W. Bush regarding immigration than I am to all of the immigration hawks in conservative circles who, it seems now, are wavering now that their favorite politician, Donald Trump, is wavering at least a little bit. We're going to talk about that maybe a little bit in the show about something else regarding immigration, something that has to be considered. But seeing George W. Bush, I got to watch a four-minute clip of him being on Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel's no conservative. He's a flaming liberal. But you forget, and this was, you know, probably the biggest frustration from just a person out, just from not knowing the guy, but seeing how he could be and seeing how good he was on Jimmy Kimmel last night, is that we didn't get to see enough of that during George W. Bush's time in office. Every interview that I've ever seen with George W. Bush, he is a charismatic guy. He is a funny guy. He doesn't mind making fun of himself, which in my world means a lot. I think people who can make fun of themselves are the easiest people to be around. And I don't mean that they're putting themselves down. Actually, what they're showing is they have enough confidence in themselves, they have enough assuredness in themselves, that they can make fun of themselves and have no problem with it. It's not one of these things where they hate themselves, so they make fun of themselves. They actually like themselves, so they make fun of themselves. George W. Bush is one of those people who likes himself, but isn't afraid to make fun of himself. And he and Jimmy Kimmel had this back and forth about strategery and misunderestimate, very funny stuff. And that, I think you may have just heard that whistle, and that was an ambulance sitting right outside my window. But in any case, George W. Bush is a good guy, not conservative. If you're going into a war, you want George W. Bush with a rifle beside you. You don't want Donald Trump. As president, you probably, in retrospect, probably wouldn't have wanted George W. Bush. And as you know how I feel about Donald Trump, the difference is that George W. Bush can go on with Jimmy Kimmel and them just have this cordial conversation for 4 minutes. And it is immensely entertaining. He's just a good guy, not putting on any airs. And I think that he has a good moral core, even though, once again, I know he's not conservative. When it comes to my kind of politician, it's like that. It's just, it would be George W. Bush, but a conservative version of him. And see, I think the issue is that even with me, and I know this is going to sound crazy. As you know, with Donald Trump, he can't laugh at himself. If people make fun of him, he thinks that he needs to defend himself. And too many people support him in that, even though we know in our everyday lives, we know that people who can't take a little ribbing once in a while eventually rub us the wrong way. This is one of those ironies about public, our own private lives and how we treat politics. It's two immensely different things. You'll vote for Donald Trump, but you wouldn't want him working in the cubicle next to you. You'll vote for him, but you know that you wouldn't be friends with a guy who acts like that. It's hard for me to understand. And see, my issue is that even if Donald Trump was conservative, I know this is going to blow some people's minds. Even if he were conservative, everything else he does would rub me the wrong way to the point where I would know that in the long term, he is hurting conservatism. That's why I continue to tell all of you, that who brings the message is as important as what the message is. I know that everybody gets on talking about the message. Is he conservative? I do, of course, do that as well. What is the message? Is it conservative? Is it liberal? The State of Union, was it good? Was it bad? Was it conservative? Was it liberal? Was it 50-50? Was it 75-25? Is Donald Trump going to stick by what he said regarding immigration? Is he going to stick by what he said regarding the trade war, trade and free enterprise? Whatever the topic may be. But in the core, at the core of anything is that what is the character, what is the personality of the person who is delivering the message? And I think that that matters. And I think that that is something that has gotten lost in all of this. And the reason I think it's gotten lost is, I mean, mainly because of who Donald Trump was running against in the general election. And at some point, I think too many people saw Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and the rest of them and thought, well, those guys are too much like George W. Bush. Not necessarily, of course, those guys are much more conservative than George W. Bush is. But we don't want these guys who kind of go along to get along sometimes, even though Ted Cruz isn't like that. But inside Washington, guys, we want somebody from outside, and that's what they thought Donald Trump was. Even though this guy may not be a good guy. And see, I don't feel that way. I've never felt that way. And this is the reason that this whole outsider / insider argument has always seemed a little fallacious to me. All I want is a person with character. I don't care where the person comes from. I don't care if he or she was inside the Beltway or outside the Beltway. If he or she is from Siberia or Hawaii or Tasmania or anything else. If the person is a person of character and is conservative, I'm going to be interested in that person. I'm going to be interested to see what he or she has to say. And what too many of you believe is that only the results matter. As long as he's going to do conservative stuff, it doesn't matter what Donald Trump says, doesn't matter what he does, it doesn't matter. I say it does. And there is no doubt in my mind that George W. Bush, despite his flaws politically, has better character, is a more moral man than Donald Trump is. That matters. And see, my problem is when that starts to not matter, it doesn't then matter what the ideology is. If you're willing to embrace people with a lack of character just because of the ends justify the means, it's worse than, to me, in the end, it is worse than having a liberal in there who is a moral person but is a liberal. It's worse than that. It's worse. That we are so quick to throw out things that we know matter in our everyday lives is the problem with politics in the United States. The biggest problem we had with the recent election is that nobody would want to sit next to Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump on an airplane. They wouldn't want to have either of them as their boss. They wouldn't want to have either of them in the next cubicle. They wouldn't want to have to drive cross country with either of them. Because I think most people know, I think liberals know that about Hillary Clinton. I think Republicans know that about Donald Trump. But then they feel forced to do something because the other side is feeling forced to do something. When the force is all in your head. So you embrace immorality and bad people because the other side is embracing bad people and immorality. And that's a no-win situation. It's no win. And I'm reminded of that when I see George W. Bush. And once again, I could even go back and say, I don't know that I could vote for George W. Bush. And that's why I preface this by saying, what we need is a conservative with the personality of George W. Bush. I wouldn't be able to vote for George W. Bush in retrospect. And as you know, I've changed because he wasn't conservative. But I didn't vote for Donald Trump because I think he's a bad guy and he's not conservative. So in the end, yes, I do want it all. But I think if you're going to be conservative, you should want it all because it all matters. The character of the politician matters as much as what is coming out of his or her mouth. But he did a great job last night. It was good to see George W. Bush. I know he's been lying low. For a long time, he lied very, very low during Barack Obama's administration. And probably that's as good an example as any, is that liberals embraced Barack Obama. To me, he is not a good guy either. I think he's slimy. I think he's arrogant. I think that he'd sell out anybody in a second. And that is one of, not just Obamacare is just not the reason that Democrats lost 1,000 seats over the course of 6 years at the local, state, and federal level. It's just not Obamacare. It's just not Black Lives Matter. It's just not attitudes on immigration, anything else. It was a reflection on Barack Obama himself. As a man. Remember that. It wasn't just all about politics. It was about people looking at him. And even people who voted for him in 2008 didn't show up and vote for him in 2012. He was the first president ever, maybe. Maybe since FDR or something, who got less of the popular vote the second time around than the first time around. He just wore people the wrong way. To the point that he wore them so badly in his second term that we now know that some of those people who voted for him in 2008 and 2012 turned around and voted Republican in 2016. It was one of those factors. That Republicans ignore that and that they can't learn from recent history will ultimately be their downfall as well. Because for liberals, they were all about ends justify the means when it came to Obamacare. They were more than willing to go along with those politicians and Barack Obama, who rammed Obamacare through, thinks that is an issue of character. doing something in which a majority of the American people don't want to have anything to do with it and still don't want to have anything to do with it. But now we've switched around, and you see how this is. You see this issue of character now popping up now, but it's on the Republican side. People hate it, and still there are too many Republicans and Donald Trump who are waffling on what they're going to do about it because they're all worried about these people who are going to lose their coverage. It doesn't matter that a large majority of the American people hate what has happened. So back then you had a bunch of Democrats doing something that they knew people were going to hate and did it anyway. And now we have a bunch of Republicans who don't want to do something, even though a majority of people want it to happen and have very good reason to think that way. Both issues, both thinkings on this are wrong. They're wrong. And that's an issue of character. We're going to rue it. We're just going to rue it. We're going to rue the day, and it's the only time I use that. Is that R-U-E? I don't even know how to spell that word. That this has happened. You got people buying in all over the place, and it's because too many people have chosen a guy who lacks character. Because they think he's going to do some conservative things. Well, those things are going to be done by a guy, if they are done, by a guy who is a bad guy. And so bad guys, bad people, people of lack of character are always going to be associated with conservatism. How's that going to work out for you? How's that going to work out? Morality matters. Good manners matter. Being polite matters. People within the last year and a half convinced it doesn't. And I think that eventually we're going to have to pay for that. So it was nice to see George W. Bush, a guy who I think always had manners, treated his enemies probably way better than they deserved to be treated, probably allowed he and his administration to be kicked around a little bit more than we would have liked. It would be nice if we could find a conservative person to run for office, to run for president, who had character, who had morality, who was going to stick to his principles instead of what we had or what we have now and what we had during George W. Bush's time, in that we had a decent guy but who wasn't conservative. Just seeing that last night reminded me of that. Let's move on to something else. I want to talk about Jeff Sessions a little more. And it was disappointing to me to read this article at thefreebeacon.com, which I think the Free Beacon has been, I wouldn't say it's never Trump. It's a never Trump place. I wouldn't say it's anti-Trump, but it's certainly not pro-Trump. I think that it has tried to play things somewhere in the middle. That's my opinion. Whereas you might say someplace like redstate.com or National Review, I think have been a lot harder on Donald Trump than Free Beacon has. But once again, I wouldn't say they're in the tank for Donald Trump either. Having said that, there's an article there that I would say is kind of trying to give a pass to Jeff Sessions. And that saying that this whole Jeff Sessions topic, this issue about what he said and everything, it's all based in fake news. And the article, I think it was written by a woman, Elizabeth something, I believe, talks about this dossier that was a fake dossier from BuzzFeed and how this all stuff, the only reason he even got asked these questions is because of fake news. That may be the case. That may be totally the case that Al Franken and whoever else was asking Jeff Sessions these questions during his confirmation hearings may have absolutely gotten all this information from dubious sources, just fake stuff. It's absolutely easy to believe. I could easily believe that. But that does not mean when they ask the question is fake. Now, it may be that they're asking the question because of fake news, and fake information. But still, Jeff Sessions is the one who knows what the reality was, right? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where these questions came from. It only matters if Jeff Sessions answers them truthfully. And see, when I see this, it feels to me like this is, because it came from fake news, that it, what does it mean? Does it mean then that Jeff Sessions allowed the lie? Now, keep in mind, for the record, I don't believe that Jeff Sessions lied. I'm just wondering how he forgot that he meant, because I've read the transcript. It's pretty clear what Al Franken means. It's pretty clear. But Jeff Sessions says, no, he didn't, when obviously he did. Do I think that he meant to lie? No. I don't know what was going on through his head. I don't believe that he would so easily lie about something that could so easily be proven to be a lie. I don't think he would do that. But still, he has to answer these questions. I know that they're going after him, that he needs to resign, he needs to be fired. In fact, somebody on my trivia team won last night, by the way, easily. It was nice. But even somebody on my trivia team last night expressed the idea that Jeff Sessions is soon to be an ex-attorney general. I'm not going to go that far. Now, that kind of thinking, and I didn't respond to that as all. As you know, I don't talk about politics amongst friends and family. I try to avoid it at all costs. It's not worth it. What I think is that Jeff Sessions had to have understood after the fact that what he said, you know, maybe somebody reminded him afterwards. That would have been the time to show, you know, it's kind of weird to me that it would take all this time, because his confirmation hearings were a couple weeks ago now. That's only popping up now. It's amazing to me that Jeff Sessions could answer a question like that, and it very well could be Jeff Sessions meeting all sorts of people, and he just forgot. I was just going through this line and shaking people's hands, and there was a Russian diplomat, and we exchanged some words. Now, we know what the Democrats think. They think that Jeff Sessions, if he had this meeting with this Russian, and he said that he never met him when he really did, they automatically think, oh, they were conspiring to fix the election. Here's what I think about Democrats. I don't believe for a second they think that the election was hacked. They're just using it as a way to undermine Donald Trump's presidency. The problem is that Donald Trump and his people are making it very easy for the Democrats to do this. Now, that's not the Democrats' fault. That's the White House's fault. You know, my buddy Dave emailed me a link to what Rush Limbaugh was saying yesterday, that this is Barack Obama working with the deep state operatives to undermine Donald Trump's presidency. Well, it wasn't Barack Obama or the deep state that caused Jeff Sessions to forget, or whatever it was, that he met with the Russian officials a couple times. Or are they beaming lies into Jeff Sessions' head? Are they beaming in amnesia? Or are they beaming in Alzheimer's into his head for him to just forget that these things happened? And I should say that the reason this continues, the reason these rumors and these lies are allowed to continue, is for reasons that Republicans have been talking about for a while, that they don't like how close Donald Trump is and how the nice things he said about Vladimir Putin. Now it seems we're now turning around. These same people are turning around and saying, oh, it's no big deal. And there's nothing, and I believe there is nothing to it, but that's not how these people who are defending Donald Trump are portraying it. Before, they saw him being nice to Russia as no big deal. Now it's a problem. It wasn't the deep state people, whatever that is, and conspiracy people, who has made Donald Trump and others speak so kindly of the dictator in Russia. They did that on their own. They opened themselves up to this kind of attack from the left. And at one time, you thought the same way. Now you're defending all of that. You're defending him, these people getting together and talking, even if it was about stuff that it didn't have anything to do with the election. It's bizarre. I got to go to the break. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital. Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back at America's Conservative Podcast. I want to continue to talk about this Jeff Sessions thing and regarding Russia and Donald Trump. What I was trying to say, finally figured it out just in those few seconds for the break, is that if those people who were defending Trump all that time would have taken a different opinion of what Donald Trump was doing back then regarding Russia, then we wouldn't be in the position that we are now. I think what happened was that they were critical of him, but they decided to go along with him anyway. And now it seems like they're confused now that the enemies of the administration, the opposition party, is now using his friendliness with Russia against him, against his attorney general. Here's what I know. None of this probably happens if Donald Trump and his people would have kept Russia at arm's length, if he would have said, yes, I'm very concerned about what's going on in Russia in the last several years, all of these different statements, then it would have been a lot harder for then the Democrats to say that the Russians meddled in our election. It wouldn't be news. But since all of you are so caught up in anything that Donald Trump does is right, this is what you get. You know, if he would have been spending all this time saying nice things about the leader of some other country, maybe a country that's a little more democratic, had a few more rights and everything, we wouldn't be here. But it was his smoothing up to Russia that got excused by, I know that there was criticisms out there, but you were the ones who still voted for him, and now you're wondering how it could be that this story about Donald Trump and his administration being in with the Russians can go on for so long. Maybe it's because Donald Trump spent the last year being nice to Russia and saying nice things about it. Is it possible? If for the last year, Donald Trump would have been saying nice things about Kim Jong-un in North Korea, you know what would have happened? You would have still gone along with him. He would have gotten elected, and then Democrats would have said, you know what? I think North Korea hacked into our election. Whereas if it would have been the last year and Donald Trump was saying nice things about the leader of France, the leader of Germany, the leader of Australia and everything, then if the Democrats wanted to turn around and say Australia hacked our election, it wouldn't seem as big a deal, would it? It would almost seem funny, but this isn't funny. And then on top of the fact, you have some officials like Jeff Sessions who seemingly can't remember who he met, when and where, and when and why and how and everything else. It all adds up. It's every, to use a horrible cliche, it's just a little piece of straw on the camel's back, a little piece at a time. All of you just never realized that all of those Russian straws were being put on Donald Trump's back were eventually going to hurt him. This is what's going on. Even if it is coming from a bunch of lies, you still have to answer the questions truthfully. So, yeah, the deep state, and do I think that Barack Obama is out there somewhere trashing Donald Trump? Yes. Do I think that he wants Donald Trump to fail? Yes. Do I think that he'd like to do some things to make that happen? Yes. But It's been Donald Trump himself. You look at these issues, he brought them on himself. It's just that his enemies are taking advantage of his weaknesses, which is what enemies do. You know, that you can't see that is your problem. You're the ones who made him out to be bulletproof. He's going to take it to the enemy. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Not noticing that Donald Trump has a huge glass chin. He has actually several of them. You were the ones who deluded yourselves. Deep state didn't delude you, didn't get inside your head and make you think things that weren't true. You did it. And now the rest of us have to pay for it. It was no different than me back in the day. And once again, I've been culpable. I've done this in my own life as well. I did this during the George W. Bush years. Voting for a guy, convincing myself that I had to vote for him, even though he wasn't conservative, because the alternative was John Kerry. That was my mistake. Nobody got in my head and made me do that. There was no mind control or anything, brainwashing that was going on. I convinced myself of that, and it was a mistake. I've learned from my mistakes. Are you? You can't vote for somebody who's not conservative and then expect for them to be conservative. You can't vote for somebody who is nice to Russia and then after the fact wonder why the opposition party is going to use that against the person you voted for. I don't care what they're... I don't care about what Hillary Clinton did with the Russians. She's not in office anymore. Well, she was taking money from the Russians, going to the Clinton Foundation. None of it matters. It's all wrong. That's the only thing that matters. When is somebody going to have the courage to say that we just have to be better, we have to make better decisions, we have to be more moral, we can't say nice things about dictators, on and on and on. When is somebody just going to say that? Everybody's so caught up in their own egos, they're so afraid of being shown that they're wrong, they will masquerade, they will continue to put up a facade and lie forever. It reminds me of, you know what this reminds me of? Because I saw this story about, did you see this thing that Caterpillar had its offices raided yesterday? Big story. Well, there's a perfect example of something that went on at Caterpillar where they got caught in an email that was from some years ago. The Caterpillar was trying to get out of paying taxes, corporate taxes in the United States. I don't know if they created some shell company. A lot of this, I just do not understand it. I don't mind telling you that. But the people who were doing it knew what they were doing was wrong. But what did one of them say in an email? Well, hey, by the time they get around to this audit, we'll be long gone. So they knew, but they knew that what they were doing was wrong. They knew that it was eventually going to cause problems for the company. But they said, you know what? We'll be retired by then. We'll have our packages, 401ks and everything. We'll let the kids worry about it. Well, yeah, the kids aren't going to worry about it. It's popped up again yesterday, 2017, March 2nd, 2017. This is what that kind of thing, that statement is what it feels like is going on now. I think a bunch of these people know what's going on is wrong. They're just trying to push it off. This is no different than Barack Obama pushing off dealing with the Middle East. He didn't want to deal with it. Just getting out of office, let the next person deal with it. Let Donald Trump deal with it. And then Barack Obama can sit back and criticize it. This kind of feels what's like is going on here for voters. Pushing off the inevitable. Going to defend something even though they know that they know it's wrong, and they're just going to let somebody else deal with it. This feels like to me like Social Security. Most people know that Social Security's other entitlements, these other the transfer of payment situations are killing our country. They're killing young people and they're killing working people. They're killing them. But nobody wants to do anything about it. They want to get their money, and they figure, well, the kids, we're getting our money. We'll let the next generation figure it out. Yeah, that really works. We're all going to pay for all this. It's eventually the United States is going to have to pay for it. Let's move on to something else that is kind of like that, and it has to do with Obamacare. Charles Krauthammer, guess it was on Fox News last night. I found this at nationalreview.com. He said that the Republicans, in order to fix Obamacare, have to forget about deficits in the short run. You have to forget about that. Because if they totally repeal it and everything, it's going to be a PR nightmare. So right now, Mr. Krauthammer, who, once again, has been a leader in conservative circles for, what, 30 years? He's now saying we just have to forget how much things are going to cost. And you wonder why conservatism hasn't moved farther ahead over the last 25, 30 years. It's because thinking of like this. I know that the repeal of Obamacare is a dicey proposition politically. You know what else is dicey? Spending money that you don't have. Driving up medical costs for everybody. That's dicey. In fact, that's way dicier than a couple politicians who may lose their offices, their political positions, because they do the right thing. This is what passes for smart thinking now. Keep in mind, we just had the prior system in 2007, 2008. We're not going back to the 1950s. Or if we wanted to get rid of Social Security, it would be not like going back to the 1920s. I mean, most of us were alive back in 2000, 2007, 2008. We remember what it was like. And it was a lot easier then than it is now. And I know those people who have picked up insurance since then. The only problem is that these insurance companies are not medical companies. They're insurance companies. And there is now law saying that they aren't insurance companies. They're something else. The law has turned them into something else where they just have to take anybody. They're no different than a Walmart. If somebody comes in with money to Walmart to buy something, Walmart accepts their money and the person can walk with the product out the door. That's not what an insurance company is. Insurance companies deal with risk. And frankly, a lot of these people are just bad risks. They're bad risk for the company, and frankly, they're bad risk for all of the other people who aren't risks who were involved with that health insurance company. And when I start hearing, well, we're going to have to run deficits and these people need to be covered and everything else, it's just putting off the inevitable. It's just going to get worse. Just rip the Band-Aid off. We all know the way you take a Band-Aid off is not doing it 1 millimeter every few seconds. You know how you do it? All in one swoop. The whole thing in half a second. And you have pain for a little bit, and then it goes away. Whereas if you rip it off millimeter every few seconds, you have pain that lasts several seconds. And in fact, even after the Band-Aid's gone, that piece of skin may still be sore because you did it that way. The sooner we go back to at least some semblance of 2007, 2008... if the Congress, along with President Trump, have the courage to knock down some of these barriers that keep insurance companies or doctors and nurses from offering, doctors and clinics offering their own plans, this will all get sorted out. The longer you continue this masquerade that really everybody can be covered by government order, the worse it's going to be for everybody. That's just the way it is. The Charles Krauthammer and too many other conservatives who call themselves conservatives and Republicans try to tell themselves otherwise is the problem that we have in the United States with too many issues, including Obamacare. I feel I do. I want you to know, for the record, it sucks. It sucks that these people have been accepted into a program. These people who are at high risk have been accepted, and then they have to lose their coverage. But you know what? It may suck, but it's not immoral. It's not unethical. It's already illegal right at this second, but it shouldn't be. These people who have gotten this coverage have killed, not literally, but figuratively, killed the programs for millions of other people. I'm one of them. I know as well as anybody. And I still say this. The reason that Obamacare is even thought about of being continued, some sort of, instead of repeal and replace, or just repeal, instead of whatever it was, retry and rewrite or whatever it is because it necessarily hasn't too badly affected employee plans yet. If employment plans had been affected by this time, they would have repealed it the day they got into office. The advantage is that the people who have mostly been affected by this so far are individual buyers like myself that are a minority in the United States. That's why. That's why Charles Krauthammer can continue to say this. Well, we need to continue to do this, even though it's driven up costs for other people. What he's really saying is he wouldn't be saying this if millions and millions more Americans were being affected by this, those people who are getting plans wherever they work, which haven't been as affected as much. So it's all wrong. But this is what passes for intellectual thought on the conservative side now, and it's pathetic. I feel for these people. I know it sucks. But it's no different than Social Security. I can't help it that you bought into a system that's flawed. I can't help it that you become dependent on a system that doesn't work. It seems to work, but it doesn't work. While it's working for you, it's not working for thousands of other people. How badly do you really want that health care? How bad do you really want that Social Security check? Obviously pretty bad, because you keep cashing them every week, even though you recognize that it has hurt other people. How bad does that make you? Whereas if you could just step away from it, figuratively, to use a horrible cliche, and see that if the healthcare system in this country was changed, it was more market-based, you would be able to get coverage. You would be able to get it in a system that had more choices. The problem is, over the years, and this is well before Barack Obama came into office, the choices for Americans regarding healthcare has diminished, 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 as government has gotten more involved, more involved, more involved. More insurance, more PPOs, more MHOs, more people in these plans where they can't go outside their network, everything else. It's only limited choice in the last 40 years, not expanded choice. And Obamacare has just been the natural progression of it in the wrong direction. So, I don't like, Charles Krauthammer. Can't he just be put to bed or something? I think a lot of these people, they've run their course. The only reason they're there is for the paycheck. They need to say something. These people are not helping. They're not helping the conservative movement anymore. They're just not. They've run their course. They had their time in the spotlight. They've made their money. And just like a professional athlete who's on the downside of his career and finally figures out he needs to retire, a lot of these people need to retire and just get out of the way. They're killing us. They have made it possible for Donald Trump to become president, frankly. Let's move on to one more thing. This is also an article from freebeacon.com, and it talks about the heroin problem that is in the United States. And I was recently listened to an episode of Econ Talk a couple weeks ago that had to do with the recurrence of the heroin in the United States. Kind of came back in the 1990s, went away for a while, was big in the 60s, 70s, kind of way, and went away in the 80s. And now it's kind of came back in the 90s, and it continues to be around. And then it's kind of been exacerbated by the opioid addiction that has happened as well. The 94% of people who 94% of the heroin that's in the United States comes from Mexico. And I have a question. If all of you get your way, and you know that I am not for drug legalization, I tend to be one of the, I think, few conservatives who think the drug laws should even be stricter. Mm-hmm. But I am not, as you know, I'm kind of the flip of many people. I think that a lot of people want drug laws loosened, but they want immigration tightened. Me, I'm the opposite. I want drug laws enforced even tighter, and I'm for a looser immigration policy. Go figure. It's just funny how we work. We all wind up in different situations. But for all of you who want that impenetrable border on our wall on our southern border, what are we going to do about these people? What's going to happen if you are successful in blocking off the border, as you know, motion sensors, guard dogs, barbed wire, landmines, whatever else, video cameras, ground penetrating radar to make sure there's no tunnels underneath, whatever you want to do. What are you going to do about the heroin that has been coming in for our citizens? How are we going to take care of those people? It's a good question. I'm just asking. I'm not sure that I have the answer. Of course, I want all of them to not be addicted to heroin anymore. I don't want them to be doing those drugs. I think it's harmful. I think the drug addiction in the United States ultimately affects the people who don't do drugs as much as the people who do drugs. This is the reason that I am for continued strict regulation and the banning of these substances, because I think too many people who don't do them get caught up in the crossfire, both figuratively and literally. And I think that would just be made worse if you made the drugs legal, my opinion. I think there's economic facts to show that. I think a lot of families can talk about that. But we are going to have to deal with this. Maybe heroin production will be moved to the United States. Maybe that's one of the things that will happen. It's going to be quite a bit more expensive. What are you going to do about that? Subsidize these people's addiction? I don't know. It's a good question. It's a tough question. There are no easy answers to any of this. This is why I continue to say that this wall stuff and everything, it's never going to happen. Because I'm not sure that we have an answer for something, a question that is simple. This, maybe you just want the people to die. They'll just have withdrawal symptoms. Maybe some of them will be suicidal. They'll kill themselves. And that's how it will work its way out. Is that what we want? I don't know. I don't want them getting their drugs. But I want them not getting their drugs because we're enforcing drug policy. Not because we're putting walls up and doing those things that is also going to hurt other sectors of our economy that are actually legal. That's my concern as well. But I got to go. You can find me at edwarddensel.com. You can follow me on Twitter, USA Podcast. You can find the show Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Prime Channel on redstatetalkradio.com. You can find the show at Podomatic and iTunes. Please subscribe, listen, review. Thank you. And I have a new episode of my other show, Missing Person Show Unfound, coming out today. You can find it on Twitter, and that is Unfound Podcast. Find it at Podomatic and iTunes. also share, review. Thank you. And everybody have a beautiful weekend. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.